The following message was recorded at Cross Point Church in Columbus, Georgia. For more great teaching or more information about Cross Point, visit cpcolumbus.com.
Amen. What a Sunday it has been already. Praise God for the baptism. Praise God for the worship through music. And now we will continue by looking into His Word. I have been tasked by Pastor Tyler to continue in the Advent series, covering this question: why did God become man? Why did God become man? The answer that I will give this morning is the theme of what our service has been so far. It is to reveal the glory of God. So for the full title of this sermon is, God became man to reveal His glory. God became man to reveal His glory. While you're taking your Bible and turning to John chapter number 1, I want to tell you about myself in the 8th grade. In the 8th grade, I would ride the bus home from school every day from Harris County Carver Middle School. I usually had Georgia boots on. I had blue jeans. Somewhere along the way, I would get a rip in the knee. And I would sit next to my good friend, Matthew Crumbly. And also, believe it or not, I had curly hair, Tuck Duncan. I say Tuck because this morning he already made a statement about my bald head. I had curly hair. And again, I'd sit next to my good buddy, Matthew. And we had my iPod Touch. And we would put my knees on the seat back in front of us. We'd each get one earbud. And we would sing like we were performing at the Grand Ole Opry. Some of my favorite songs, which are still my favorite songs today, like Amarillo by Morning or Should Have Been a Cowboy. But there was one song that we would sing. There was never any argument about. We loved this song. Maybe you know it. It's sung by a man named Tracy Lawrence. If you know who that is, you know you got to kind of hold your nose to sound like him. It was a song titled, Paint Me a Birmingham. Paint Me a Birmingham. Maybe you know it. Maybe it's playing in your head right now. The purpose of the song was this man walked up to a painter and he asked the painter to paint him a painting. He asked him to paint him a Birmingham. This proverbial Birmingham was to be the mind's desires of the man who commissioned the painting. And the purpose would be of the painting for anyone who looked at the painting to know exactly what the man wanted. He asked for a big house out in the country with a porch going all the way around it. He asked for the love of his life to be in his arms. This was the man's desires in a painting. And I tell you that to tell you that that song is actually a really poor illustration of our text in John 1. Because our text in John 1 is not about God who left us with just a picture and painting of Himself. Our text in John 1 is not just to tell us about what God wants and His desires. Our text in John 1 is to tell us that God came in the flesh to show us who He is and His desires. Let's read John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and we will read through the end of verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives life to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And pay special attention to verse 14. It will be our verse of interest this morning. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. From verse 14 is where we find the answer to the question this morning of why did God become man? And verse 14 tells us that Christ, the Son of God, God himself, became man to reveal his glory to us. Now, I've used the word glory and the glory of God a good bit already, and I will continue to use that. So we need to define that. What is the glory of God? John Piper defines the glory of God as the manifest beauty and greatness of his holiness. The glory of God is the beauty of his holiness. And this great glory, the glory of God, it can be seen in part in some God-given graces he has given to us on earth. For instance, creation in part displays God's glory. This is why Psalms 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Tonight, you could go outside, look up into the sky, see the moon and the stars, and you would see just a glimpse of the glory of God by recognizing God as the sovereign creator of the universe. And the creation of man gives us just a small glimpse of the glory of God. That's why Psalms 8 is speaking of man, and it says, "You have made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor." You can look at the creation of man, and you can see the image of God like Genesis 1 teaches. And by seeing the image of God, you see the beauty that came from our holy Creator. By looking into the face of other men, you see this image of God. And by seeing that image, you see a small glimpse of the glory of God. But creation nor man fully display the glory of God. They just show the glory of God in part. But there is one who has displayed the full glory of God. This glory of God was shown perfectly in this one's incarnation, character, and holiness. There was never a single step of this one, never no action, word, or deed out of step of this one to the glory of God. This one is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect manifestation of the glory of God. If you know my father, Dwayne Gallatin, then you know the hardest working, above reproach, man of integrity. I would be ecstatic if I was ever counted to be half the man he is. But Christ is not half the man his father is. Christ is everything his father is. Amen. And perfectness, holiness, righteousness. Christ perfectly displays the glory of God. This is why Jesus can say in John 8 to the Pharisees, "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." In John 14 to his disciples, he can say, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." But if Christ can reveal the full glory of God, that leaves us with two questions that we need to ask and answer. If Christ has the ability to reveal the glory of God in full, there are two questions that we need to ask. The first question is, how? How can Jesus reveal the full glory of God? And the second question is, why did Jesus come to reveal the full glory of God? If we begin with the first question, how can Jesus reveal the full glory of God? The answer to this question is short in word count. But it does take some chewing on to fully grasp. If you're a Christian, you have wrestled with the answer to this question before, and now you stand by it to be true. And if you've been a believer for some time now, the answer to this question, it may seem a bit elementary, but you won't mind just basking in this truth. The answer to the question, how can Christ reveal the full glory of God, is this. Christ can reveal the full glory of God because Christ is God. Christ is God, and because Christ is God, he can reveal the full glory of God. Let's look in our text in John 1 to affirm this truth. In John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. This text clearly tells us that Jesus is God. But maybe you read it with me, and you say, wait a minute, no, it does not. It just says the Word. And maybe you're a bit confused by that. It just says the Word. It does not say that Jesus was God. Well, we need to clear this up and why this is referring to Jesus. First of all, notice that the Word is a proper noun. It's a name. Notice the capital W given by the translators. Well, why not just say Jesus? Why not just say Jesus was God? Would this not be so much better for our apologetical arguments to be able to say Jesus was God? So why does he use the word Word, the name Word for Jesus here? Well, I think it's clear as you read through the rest of the passage that this is speaking of Jesus, especially when you get to our main verse of interest in verse 14. Verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And then the rest of the entirety of the Gospel of John, this book of John that we're in, is spent telling us about the Word that became flesh. There is no question that this capital W name, Word, is referring to Jesus. But why would John use the name Word? Why not just Jesus? Well, probably because there was many people named Jesus during the day. But by him using Word, J.C. Ryle helped me with this, the Word would have been recognized by John's listeners to be the Old Testament as we know it today. And by calling Jesus the Word would have been a clear and plain statement that this is the Savior the Old Testament prophesied about. If we reread the text that Pastor Tyler preached last week, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And with his wounds we are healed. If we were to read that to a Jewish man or woman and not tell them the book that it's from, they would say, that's definitely speaking of Jesus, and that's definitely speaking of your New Testament. That's coming from your New Testament. Until we would reveal, no, it's coming from the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. Why would that be confusing? Because Jesus perfectly fulfilled the Word. So when we read this text, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, this text is clear. Jesus is God. And I believe it would still be faithful to the text to read it as such. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. The claim from this text is Jesus can perfectly display the glory of God because Jesus is God. Jesus is God and has always been. In this verse, in the beginning was the Word, defeats and destroys many heresies about Jesus today. The Latter-day Saint that would say that Jesus is a demigod of sorts, procreated by God and Mary. Or the Muslim that says that God, that Jesus is just a good man and a prophet, goes up in flames from this verse. And mostly from one little word found in the verse. One three-letter word, and this three-letter word may be the most powerful one in the entire verse. This verse is an obvious homage back to Genesis, in the beginning. But this verse is clear that in the beginning, Jesus already was. Meaning Jesus was not created. There was never a time when Jesus did not exist. At the beginning of time itself, Jesus already was. Jesus is so infinite. When we try to wrap our finite brains around this truth, it seems inconceivable. This word was teaches us that Jesus is coexistent, co-eternal with God the Father. The 8th article of the London Baptist Confession helps us defining Jesus as God as saying, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is truly and eternally God. He is the brightness of the Father's glory, the same in substance and equal with him. He made the world and sustains and governs everything he has made. This person is truly God. If you are here and you have never known who Jesus is, this is the truth to start with. Jesus is God. Christ is King this Advent season because Christ is deity. Because Christ is deity, you can look to Jesus and see the glory of God in his holiness, never once committing a single transgression. You can look to Jesus and see the glory of God in his sovereignty. Even the winds and waves obeyed him. You can look to Jesus and see the glory of God as creator and sustainer. The lame walked and the blind could see just from the power of his voice. You can look to Jesus and see the glory of God in full. The answer to how Christ can reveal the glory of God is because Christ is God. But why would God feel the need to reveal his glory to us? We have to ask this question. Why did Jesus come to reveal the glory of God? C.S. Lewis pointed out in his writings titled Miracles, Hamlet could tell us nothing about Shakespeare except what Shakespeare chose to write about himself into the play. The only way Hamlet could ever know Shakespeare is if Shakespeare wrote himself into Hamlet. And it's for this reason, I believe we find the answer to our question of why Christ came to reveal God's glory. Because we as creation could have never known the glory of God unless Christ came to reveal his glory to us. We as creation could have never known the Creator unless the Creator wrote himself into creation. Let's look at our text in John 1, verse 10. It says this very thing. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. We as creation did not know the Creator. So what did the Creator do? The Creator wrote himself into creation. John chapter 1, verse 14, our main verse. What did God the Creator do? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. God came as man to reveal his glory to his creation so that we could know him. And because he came into creation so that we can know him, that cries out one thing. God wants us to know him. God wants us, the creation, to know the Creator. Why? It's answered for us in John chapter 3, two chapters later, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why would the Creator write himself into creation? Because he loves us. Because he loves us, the Creator wants the creation to know him. God loves us enough that he did not want to be a shadowy figure hiding in the pages of history. God loves us enough that he wants us to know him personally. He loves us enough that the Creator would write himself into creation. He loves us enough that he would leave a perfect heaven to take upon himself the form of a dependent baby. And he loves us enough, most importantly, that he would take upon himself the punishment of our sins. Or maybe you're here and you say, well, I'm just an agnostic. I know there's a Creator. That makes sense to me. But I don't think I can know him. I know there's a Creator, but I believe that Creator is just letting the world play out and my life play out with no intervention. I argue from this text, this is the very reason Christ came, so that you can know God and have a relationship with him. This is why Jesus says in John 14, verse 6 to his disciple Thomas, who says, how can we know God? How can we go to God? And Christ says to him, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. Christ came so we can have a way to know God and his glory. To know the glory of God is to know Christ, and to know Christ is to have salvation from sin. The glory of God is like our text says in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The glory of God, Christ, is like a beautiful shining light that enters into the dark cave. The darkness does not overcome the light. The light overcomes the darkness and illuminates it. This is why it says in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. To know Christ is to know the glory of God. The glory of God shines into our sin-darkened soul and illuminates it. When we trust Christ, the light comes in, and the darkness of sin will not overcome it. The light of the glorious gospel will overcome sin's darkness every time. You can know God and his glory through Jesus Christ. And the two questions that we had to ask were, how could Christ reveal the glory of God, and why did Christ come to reveal the glory of God? And we know that the answers are because Christ is God. And we know that Christ came to reveal the glory of God because God loves us and he wants us to know him. And we have to ask a third question. Knowing that Christ came to reveal the glory of God, now what? What do we do now, knowing that Christ came to reveal the glory of God? I think the first thing to establish when we ask this question is to remember that God revealed his full glory not through many different means, but through one person. That person is Christ Jesus. Through Christ, the full and perfect glory of God is revealed to his creation. So now, what we are to remember is that we display the glory of God not through many different means or through any ways we desire. We reveal the glory of God through the one way that God revealed his own glory. That's through Jesus Christ. God revealed his glory through Jesus Christ. Now we reveal God's glory by revealing Jesus Christ. For us to have lives that give God glory and shows his glory to others, we must have lives that reveal the glory of God. We must have lives that reveal Jesus Christ. What are ways that our lives can reveal Jesus Christ? The first one that I think of is our lives reveal the glory of God when we live holy like Jesus. Our lives reveal the glory of God when we live like Jesus, a holy life. The Christian life is to be marked by obedience to God and his word and consecration to Christ alone. The Christian life is not to be in a pattern of sin with no fight against it. When the onlooking world sees our striving of a holy life, we do not give glory to ourselves for being a good person. Our glory goes to God and God alone. Why? Because we live a holy life to make Jesus known and to reveal God's glory. When someone asks us, why do you live this way? Or why do you work so hard? Or why don't you cut corners? No one will know. We simply reply, because I love my Savior and I want the glory of God to be revealed through my life. By Christ being made known in my actions, the glory of God is being revealed to those who watch. But also, when you fight your sin and desire to live as Christ lived, a holy life, the glory of God is not just revealed to those who watch. It's revealed to your own soul. You see, if we live our lives and try to live a holy life just so the onlooking world will see our lives and applaud us, then we will be more apt to give into sin behind closed doors. Fellow father and husband, mother and wife, when you take a deep breath in patience instead of losing your temper, during the chaotic moments in the home, you reveal the glory of God in your own soul. How God has put away the old man, and the new man that was born from the Spirit of God revels in the glory of God that was revealed to you by Christ Jesus. Or employee or soldier, when it would be easy to cut corners, yet you decide to make sure it's done the right way, although it makes the job harder, you reveal the glory of God to your own soul by knowing this mindset goes completely, contrary of the natural man and in accordance to the regeneration that Christ has worked in you. Man and woman, boy and girl, behind closed doors where our secret sins thrive. When we fight that sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, the glory of God is revealed to our souls because we remember that our own righteousness is as filthy rags and Christ has came to give us his righteousness. Or maybe you've heard me go on about how living a holy life reveals the glory of God, and all you can think about is how unholy your life has been lately, or how unholy your life has been. I want to encourage you. The pump is primed in your life for God to receive a magnitude of glory through Jesus Christ in your life. Our lives reveal the glory of God when we run to Christ in our unholiness. This is exactly what this baptism was a picture of this morning. Placing faith in Christ, being buried with him, and raised again and walk in newness of life. And for God to get all the glory from our lives. You can trust in him today and be made holy. Our lives reveal the glory of God when we live like Jesus, a holy life. But our lives reveal the glory of God when we love like Jesus. Now, I know that this point sounds a bit sappy or a bit hokey, but if we reveal the glory of God by revealing Jesus, then I cannot help but think of a verse later in John chapter 13. John 13, Jesus says, "By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." And to love the other disciples of Christ is to love his body. That's the church. And to love the church is to love like Jesus, like Tyler just preached in Ephesians 4. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So if you follow my logic, our love for one another is what tells the onlooking world we are disciples of Christ, which reveals the glory of God by revealing Jesus to them. And to love like Jesus is to give yourself up for the church. Reveal the glory of God out of love by giving yourself up for this church. Let there be no task too small. When tables and chairs need to be put up, or coffee needs to be made, or donuts need to be put out, or someone needs a hug, or someone needs greeted at the door, reveal the glory of God by working together to make the task done. Or when there is a need, and by the way, there is a need for help in children's ministry. Love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ by giving yourself up to serve. By doing so, you are revealing the glory of God to our parents and their children. There are widows and elderly in this church that are members that cannot attend anymore due to their health. Love them like Jesus. Find an elder, ask for a list of their names, visit to encourage them, and by doing so, you are revealing the glory of God till they see the glory of God with their very own eyes. The meal trains of this church are unmatched. When we had Everly in January, I was so blessed by people serving this church by coming and leaving meals at our doorstep. Or the night when Jenny Jones and Samantha Ortlett showed up with a meal and prayed over Devonna and Everly, the glory of God was shown in my soul that night. The everyday means of living the Christian life together, praying for each other, encouraging one another, men keeping men accountable for sin, women meeting and talking about life circumstances, tragedies that are helped by one another, fellow brothers and sisters that are just going through it. The glory of God can be revealed by these everyday means. Join a community group and your opportunities will be endless. Our lives reveal the glory of God when we live holy like Jesus. Our lives reveal the glory of God when we love like Jesus. And this last one, it seems to be the most self-explanatory one, really the most common sense one. Our lives reveal the glory of God when we tell others of Jesus. Again, this statement seems to be self-explanatory, but truthfully, it is the hardest one to do. for me personally, trying to live like Jesus and trying to love like Jesus, it just comes easier than me trying to tell others about Jesus. But it would be common sense for us to say that telling others about Jesus would reveal the glory of God to them. And again, I confess to you, this is the hardest thing for me to do, but I would argue that it is the most target-rich, opportunity-filled means of a way to reveal the glory of God to people by telling them about the one who came to reveal the glory of God, Jesus. And I stand with Spurgeon when he said this: until God calls the roll call of the elect, I will preach the whosoever will gospel. And you cannot share the gospel with the wrong person because you cannot share the glory of God with the wrong person. And the opportunities in this church and in our community are endless to share the gospel and to reveal the glory of God. If you have children, then you wake up every morning with a mission field in your own home. Spend your days telling them about Jesus, and by doing so, reveal the glory of God to them. Just a side note, just recently I had a conversation with a brother about how I want to come on a Sunday morning and be able to worship. I want to be able to lift my hands in praise, but I feel like a hypocrite because all week long, I don't reveal the glory of God in my home, and the person who knows me best, my wife, is standing next to me on a Sunday morning. And I want so badly to worship, and that brother encouraged me, lead your family daily in worship, in prayer and reading, and reveal the glory of God in your home. And I can say that it has changed the way that I worship. Maybe this week, or maybe you feel similar to that sentiment. This week, reveal the glory of God in your home, and we can gather next Sunday reinvigorated to worship the Lord. If you're looking for opportunities to share the gospel, every Sunday morning, there's over 150 children in the kids' ministry hallway, and every Sunday night, there's over 60 teenagers that gather for Crosspoint Youth. They need someone to reveal the glory of God to them. Or maybe you're a teenager or you're a child that's in here. Every week you go to school. Every week you play on a sports team or you're in some extracurricular activities. Those people need the glory of God revealed to them by sharing Jesus. Then there are some here that are blessed with the gift of evangelism. Will you take your gift of evangelism, of spreading the gospel, to the streets of Columbus or to the nations of the world? Or maybe you say, well, evangelism's not my gifting. Maybe you can support those whose gifting it is, like a Robert and Sigourney Ward, who left the comforts of the South to move to the hustling and bustling of Boston to make the glory of God known there. Or maybe like this tatted up Army Ranger, Jacob Strucker, and his better half Haley, that are about to get on a plane and leave everything they've ever known to go to Japan to make the glory of God known there. We all can have a part in making the glory of God known in this world by revealing Jesus to this world. Jesus Christ came to make the glory of God known to his creation. We now have been tasked with making Christ known to the world. And by making Christ known, we reveal the glory of God. When we live to make the glory of God known for the sole purpose of God getting more glory, we live holy. So God gets more glory, not so we are applauded. We love the church so God gets more glory, not so we are patted on the back. We tell others about Jesus so God gets more glory, not just so more people get into heaven. We must live our lives oriented as Christians around God getting more glory, for this is the purpose that he came. God came to reveal his glory. During the 1700s, there was two young Moravian missionaries. They heard about an island in the Caribbean that a slave master was sending his slaves to work on. They became so convicted about reaching these slaves on the island that they went to the slave master and asked, can we please go to the island and reveal the glory of God to them? Tell them about Jesus. Slave master said, no. So what these two young Moravians did, they went back to the slave master and they sold themselves into the slavery of this man. The families gathered at the port to watch the ship leave. And as the ship was leaving, the two young Moravians turned around back to their families and said, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. What was the reward for the lamb that was slain? Christ. What was the reward for Christ when these two young Moravians went to the island to share the gospel? What was the reward? The reward was for the very purpose that he came, to reveal God's glory, more glory to God. More glory to God. God became man to reveal his glory to us. Now we are to reveal his glory to others. In just a moment, we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. We get to remember Christ who came to reveal the glory of God to us. And to know Christ is to know salvation. And we just ask that if you have never known Christ, if you've never trusted Christ, if you do not know him, you do not know that glory of God, we ask that you withhold from partaking in that. And like this brother was baptized a few moments ago, proclaiming to the world that he is trusted in Christ and he wants his life to reveal God's glory. If you have not been baptized, we ask that you withhold from partaking in the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would bless this word of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. We know that when your word is read, it will not return void. Father, we acknowledge you as the great sovereign creator that loved us enough to reveal yourself to your creation. You wrote yourself into creation so that we might know you. Father, I pray for the one here that does not know you, that has never known the glory of God. May they have a moment this morning where they see your glory through Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray for the other believers here, those that have trusted Christ. I pray that we spend the rest of our lives, this day forward, doing all that we can to make sure the glory of God is revealed. In the way that we live, in the way that we love this church, and then in the way we just tell others about Christ. Father, we ask that you would bless this. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks for listening to Cross Point Church in Columbus, Georgia. For more great teaching or more information about Cross Point, visit cpcolumbus.com.